Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour with Mike Snyder and Mark Rawson here on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Welcome you to another great show, the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour. As you know, me and Mike host this normally on the second or third Tuesday of every month, but from time to time during the year, we have an opportunity to bring in a really powerful and great man to talk about his journey and his work and everything like that. And when we do that, we actually schedule special shows like we have on this evening. And we're going to be really excited to introduce our guests in a few minutes. But before I get to that, I just want to let you know, if you want to find out more about this show or other shows on Spiritual Connections Radio, you can go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And if you love that music that we have on the intro, of course, our co-host, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mark.
Our co-host, Mike, is the one that does that. If you're familiar with tuning into the St. Germain Radio Show once a month with Brigida, you're very familiar with Mike's music, and a lot of his music is available for download. And you can find out more about that by going to his website. And all these links are up on the Spiritual Connections Radio website, including the one for our guests this evening, if you didn't catch it. So to find out more about Mike's website, go to Mike. And that's M-I-K-E, of course, it's www.mikesnyderc.com. And you can get that off of the main website. And make sure to check out some of his music. He also does private sessions, which he can do over Skype, where he actually connects with you. And if you weren't familiar with what Mike does, he actually channels music. And it comes from the angels and everything like that. And he actually channels music, and he can actually connect with your energy, channel music for you remotely while you listen to it. And it's very interesting. I've actually had a number of sessions with Mike, both in person and remotely. And he just does amazing work. And the work is incredible because it's a dance between your energy in your body, the music, and then as the music plays, your body energy changes, and then the music changes. So there's this back and forth. But if you're just looking for something to meditate to, or if you want to experience a lot of his different pieces, they're all available on his website through the link that I gave you. So make sure to go check that out. And with that, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, thank you for that great introduction there, Mark. Okay, so tonight on the show we have J.P. Sears. J.P. is an emotional healing coach, international teacher, world traveler, and a curious student of life. His work empowers people to live more meaningful lives. J.P. presents classes, workshops, online seminars, and he leads retreats at numerous locations around the world on inner healing and growth. He's very active with his YouTube channel, which is called Awaken with J.P., and he encourages healing and growth through his entertainingly informative and inspiring videos. JP also served as a faculty member for the CHEK Institute from 2006 to 2013, and he holds a certification as a holistic coach advanced practitioner through the Holistic Coaching Institute in Columbus, Ohio. JP, it's great to have you on the show tonight.
Well, thank you, Mike, for all of that and not showing anybody my shadow side. You just shared the good stuff. That's great. And appreciate you, Mike and Mark, having me on. I'm very happy to be here, acting like I know what I'm doing with you guys.
Yeah, it's very cool. We'll actually do a different show to talk about your dark side.
That's good. I'm not going to show up for that one. I want to be in denial of my dark side.
We are a special Darth Vader for that.
Yeah. So, you know, we were kind of talking with, you know, you before the show, and, you know, there's a couple different things we were sharing with me and Mike and everybody. We're talking about the fact that I just came across you probably about 5 months ago. And, of course, it was one of those things where a friend of a friend is kind of like, hey, you got to go to YouTube and check out, you know, this guy's videos. I mean, he's absolutely hilarious and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes I get so saturated with all the Facebook stuff and the YouTube stuff that I got to just, like, walk away from it for a little bit because it's just so much, you know. And I went out and I checked out one of your different videos, and it was absolutely hilarious. And I think the thing for people who are not familiar with your videos, first of all, let's go ahead and get some links out to everybody. So, JP, why don't you go ahead and give out your website and your YouTube links and all that kind of stuff so people know how to find you. And, of course, some of those links are up on the main website also.
Sure. You know, the easiest and maybe the coolest place to connect with me is on my YouTube channel. You can subscribe. It's Awaken with JP, just youtube.com/awakenwithjp. I put new videos out every week. And my website, good old-fashioned website, is innerawakeningsonline.com.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, one of the things, and we kind of talked about this a little bit before the show, is that it's just so amazing that with your videos where there's a lot of sense of humor, where the video is strictly done for kind of a funny kind of delivery, the amazing part about it, you know, me and Mike actually were talking about this before, is that, you know, both me and Mike have a vast background in different spiritual teachings from around the world. And, you know, we have a lot of knowledge and wisdom and everything because of that. And you can see the wisdom that really comes through. And you can see that you're not just somebody who grabbed a couple terms and thought it'd be fun to play with it. You're someone who really understands the in and outs of spirituality, really has some life experience to go behind it. And even in your funny videos, there's just straight knowledge and wisdom that's coming out of it. And I think for that, that's just absolutely amazing. And I want to just say thank you for being that gift of light to the world, because I think it's just so needed.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And and actually, to be honest with you, I've come to learn to appreciate, you know, that kind of humorous angle. I think it's one of my gifts I've learned to kind of learn to appreciate, too. And it always feels wonderful having lovely people like yourself recognize it.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. So go ahead, Mike. I'll let you run up first, and then I'll come back around.
Okay. Yeah, so we always like to kind of get the backstory on everybody. And so I guess the first question we'd like to ask is, were you always kind of in, like, to have the spiritual connection during your whole life? Like, did it start as a child, or was there a certain aha moment for you where you shifted from a certain kind of background and stepped into the spirituality? Like, how did it come about for you where you decided, okay, I kind of am interested in this different kind of viewpoint? And, you know, and as we all know, there's always some challenges to face with that, because there's a lot of people that look at our view of spirituality and say, wow, you're all wrong and you're going to H-E double hockey sticks. But.
Yeah. You know, I think an entertaining answer to that question, you know, a really cool answer would be, yeah, I was sitting on a park bench when I was 20 years old, and, you know, a bird landed by me, and all of a sudden I saw this flash of light, and I was never the same, and I was all opened up and in tune. Well, that might make a fun story. I think the reality for me is, I've been clumsily stumbling along through life, and I think that's been the modus operandi that's gotten me onto my path. And, you know, I've been stumbling along, and I think, like so many of us, I've experienced different forms of pain and challenges in my life, and I think, I hate to say it when I'm in the heat of the moment, yet in hindsight, I can say that I think pain is the greatest motivator to motivate us to do anything, let alone wake up to a higher level of consciousness. You know, I think it got me to challenge my limited yet incredibly comfortable set of beliefs about who I am, what the world is, and what I am relative to the world. So, and I think a lot of my pain it came through just being plain old shut down. You know, I grew up, for the most part, a pretty emotionally disconnected person, pretty darn numb. And I personally believe that numbness is the most intense level of pain that a human being can experience. So it took me a while to actually step out of numbness to my numbness and realize, wow, I thought I was just so well balanced, but the deal is I'm actually just so emotionally disconnected that I appear balanced. I never get upset because I'm incredibly disconnected from my anger. And I think a lot of my backstory around that has to do with, you know, my experience of the family values growing up is you're not allowed to get angry. If you do, mom and dad will get angry at you for being angry. That'll teach you not to be angry. You know, little boys, they don't cry, things like that. So, you know, I think there was a lot of time spent disconnected from my heart. And when I was actually coincidentally about 20, amongst other things, but one of the more significant ones is I stumbled into a book called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And I read that, and that definitely opened something in me. And so since then, I've been clumsily crawling along in life, each day doing my best to be a little bit more awake than I was yesterday, which I guess sets me up competing with myself in competitive spirituality. But, you know, that's maybe a little bit of a short story made long or a long story made short. I'm not sure which.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, I can understand where you're coming from, Mike, from that, because I think so many of us, we just are all constantly learning every day. And, you know, when we set our intention to allow us to learn, and if we, you know, sometimes we keep setting the bar higher and higher and higher, but sometimes we need to just put the bar aside and just say, hey, I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to learn what I'm supposed to learn. And, you know, I hope to benefit from it, whether it's good or bad, you know what I mean? And so it's great to share that kind of concept with people because, you know, sometimes we're always so bent onto this idea of perfection or having to do this and that. And it's like, well, maybe each day goes along, you learn something new and you learn something new about yourself that you didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I certainly have the disease called perfectionism, and I think it's a little bit in remission right now and hopefully for the long term. And I think my case of perfectionism is part of what my great challenge was in the earlier part of my life. What had me so emotionally disconnected is I was trying to be the, you know, what I thought was the perfect person, meet the expectations of what I thought that perfect person was supposed to be. And you know what? Perfect people, they don't get messy. They don't go through challenges. They don't get upset. They don't get sad. They don't cry. So, yeah, I think ironically enough, trying to be a perfect person is one of the things that challenged me the most and kind of splashed me into, as you said, learning about the perfection of my imperfection.
Okay, Mark, you had some questions?
Yeah, I agree with you, JP. I mean, going back to what you said at the beginning, I think all of us always wanted those stories of, you know, I was sitting on the bench and saw the light, you know. and, you know, we just kind of find for a lot of us that it just kind of, you know, for me, it seemed to be that it started later in my career. I had done, you know, 25 years in New York City running technology before I started to really get into a lot of the spirituality. So I kind of put myself in that classification of people like John Edwards and Van Praagh and stuff, who really didn't really get into their spiritual stuff until they were in their later years. So it's kind of interesting how that happens. What do you do during the day? I mean, what does the day look like for you? Are you actually coaching people? Are you, you know, what's your day job look like?
Yeah, my day job, my main living I earn as an emotional healing coach. So I'm working with clients throughout the day. The vast majority of my practice is done via Skype, so I'm fortunate enough to work with folks from all over the world. So, yeah, you know, I'm working with clients all day, and of course there's the admin of, you know, emails and that kind of stuff, and there's always various projects I have going on, and then, of course, during days, at least some days of the week, I'm working on squeezing some video shooting in there as well. And then, of course, I'm a slave to my dog, so he tells me when to take him out and when to feed him. So I've got those servant duties to be responsible for, too.
Very, very cool. So if someone wants to book a session with you and everything, they can go to innerawakeningsonline.com.
Correct. Yeah, there should be all the information you need there. Absolutely.
Oh, very good. Very good. Do you find that you tie a lot of your humor into the work that you do with people?
Well, in one-on-one client sessions, sometimes there's humor. There's not a heck of a lot. You know, if you watch the Ultra Spiritual videos, then there's probably a lot less humor than you would think. And I think humor is an incredibly powerful force. In fact, I consider humor to be like an alchemist. It helps transform energy. So when we've got stuck energy, emotional wound, and I think humor can be an incredibly helpful healing force, and like any source of power, I think humor also has a shadow side where humor can be used for deflection and essentially disconnection from ourselves. So I find oftentimes in one-on-one client sessions, probably 85% of that landscape, I'm working with a person in a more straightforward, sincere, emotionally intimate way. And certainly humor will creep in a little bit when it seems appropriate. But, of course, if someone's broken down, that's not the time I want to be cracking jokes. I think that would actually distract a person from the rapture of their own heart and soul. And I tend to find that my humor tends to come out more and more the bigger the audience I have. So if I'm running a retreat and I'm doing lots of talks in front of people, then, you know, the humor, it's finding a bigger expression, if that halfway answers your question, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. What kind of retreats do you have coming up this summer? Where can we go see you?
Well, you know, I have been a little bit of a bad boy. Those aren't yet on my website. My next retreat, just a little bit of a preview, it'll likely be in November in Northern California. So keep an eye on my website. You can jump on my e-newsletter list, and you'll be the first ones to find out when the next ones are officially scheduled. And, you know, the past few months and then the next few months as well, I'm actually taking a little bit of a step back. I'm slowing down the pace that I'm running events, retreats, workshops. I've just got, you know, a lot of beautiful things coming my way and changing, shifting in my life. So I found that with regard to the big events, you know, like retreats, lightening that load of my schedule is a helpful way for me of making space for the new things to come in and change to kind of unfold, if you will. So with that said, we'll probably be back at it in November.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know there's a couple times in my life where spirit has kind of talked to me and said, listen, you know, we got a couple things we want to send you, but you got to clear your plate of a few things, you know. And I'm looking at it, I'm like type A multi-personality, you know, multitasker, and I'm kind of like, you know, I got plenty of rope, you know, and then I had to go back and look at it again and say, you know what, I probably need to let go of a few things.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's kind of like the more we want to eat, the more we need to go visit the restroom. For a poetic analogy.
Very, very, very done, nice and clean. I like that.
Yeah, I think that was Edgar Allan Poe, if I have that quote remembered correctly.
Very cool. So I'm going to turn this over to Mike in a second, but tell me a little bit about what your clients look like, because I don't know what emotional healing coaching would look like. So if there's people out there that want to work with you, I mean, is it like PTSD kind of stuff? I mean, what would be some examples of people who come to you? And
sure. Yeah, I would call it three main categories that in general people see me for. One would be self-sabotage, where a person says, you know, I've got these symptoms playing out in my life. I always sabotage whatever, happiness, relationships, money, whatever it is. And these are folks who've realized, you know, I'm just addressing the symptoms. I want to get to some of the root causes that are driving these symptoms of self-sabotage. And so anyway, they come in the door and we dive deep into their heart. People who are looking for the second category would be relationship coaching, where they have snags, they have blocks, they have repetitive patterns of dysfunction playing out in relationships, and they're looking either individually or with their partner to kind of find their own solutions, and as well as what's the inner pain and the usually hidden beliefs that they carry around that cause them to act out, patterns that don't serve them. And then, you know, the third category would be people that are just plain old in emotional pain. These would be people who, you know, I'm stuck in sadness and I have been for weeks, months, or years, or I'm stuck in depression, or, you know, I always lose my temper and I can't figure out why. And the work I do, it's by no means me giving people their answers. It's for me, it's a quest of helping people help themselves to find their own answers, help them find the usually hidden aspects of themselves that are out of balance or wounded, and then, of course, going through appropriate healing exercises and concepts with them. So, yeah, you know, add all that up, and I'm fortunate to work with people with a lot of different things going on.
Well, you know, to talk about how you come to that, talk a little bit about, I think you have some certifications and some education in coaching, but also I'm wondering what kind of, do you have any kind of spiritual modalities or gifts, or your Reiki healer and stuff like that. So if you could talk of both sides of the coin, left, right brain.
Sure. Well, I have red hair. So my mom always told me that's the greatest gift from God. I don't know if she's lying or not. So aside from the red hair, I think Einstein said it best. When he said the intuitive mind is a sacred gift and the rational mind is a faithful servant. So in my coaching work, I highly value my intuition and I highly value the client's intuition. And for me, a coaching session is primarily looking to soak in the gifts of the intuitive mind, see what we can't see, not be a slave to the slow linear pace of the logical mind, you know, the kind of thing where a person can go talk about their problems once a week for 20 years and not make any headway. That's because I think the logical mind is incredibly limited with what it can see, what it can perceive. I'm glad I have a logical mind. And by no means do I want to be limited to just my logical mind. And, yeah, so utilizing the gift of intuition for me is vastly important. And a lot of my training with regard to working with people and emotional healing and spiritual wellness comes from a man named John McMullen. He's just an angel inside of a human body. His organization is JourneysOfWisdom.com. And John has a saying that stuck with me. I mean, I tend to forget most things I learn, but one of the things that just really stuck with me when it comes to working with people is meet a person where they're at. So for me, it's pretty important to be sensitive, understanding, compassionate to where a person is at. Meet them there, and that's where we begin our work together. If that makes any sense. And if it doesn't, it's my story.
I like it. Yeah, thank you. Why don't I go ahead, Mike, and let me go ahead and do the break, and then we'll go right into your questions just so we don't have to stop. Yeah.
Sure.
So for everybody that's tuning in, you're listening to the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour. We're on Spiritual Connections Radio once a month, and you can find out more about this show, the links for our great guest that we have on today, J.P. Sears, including his website and his YouTube link, are right up on the website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And make sure to get out to J.P. Sears' website off of the link, innerawakeningsonline.com. And sign up for his newsletter and everything so you can find out about that retreat he's got coming up in November this year. So we'll be really excited to see that. And for anybody who hasn't had a chance to check out his videos, you are missing some amazing stuff. His link for his YouTube channel, which I recommend you sign up to be a subscriber on. Go check out his videos up there, and that link for YouTube is pretty long, so you can grab that off of our website there also. And that's basically it. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, well, I actually just took a look at the website you were talking about, the Journeys of Wisdom, and the first thing I came across was one of the beliefs that he says about people become more empowered when they learn how to balance the energy of the mind, body, and spirit at all levels, conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. And, you know, I find that pretty fascinating, especially with the work that you do, because, you know, I think what happens a lot, I can definitely attest this to myself, and I definitely have a lot of other friends in my my own spirituality community that I've talked to about this, where sometimes we can feel like we're living in duality. You know, it's sometimes we can get in some of our groups where we have meditation groups and things like that, where we feel at home with other people that are like-minded and so forth. And then what can happen, we go into the work week and we're just down there with people that may not have the same kind of understanding or you know, sometimes like some of us that when we open our minds up, we can kind of just access that different dimension, or we allow ourselves to access that different dimension. And then sometimes we get around other people that they're not open to it. You know, we like to call them USDA grade A regular old people, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it because everybody's where they're at and they're supposed to be where they're at and everything. But I think what happens is when we come almost too spiritually connected or too ungrounded, we really face this duality where we can find it very difficult to try and be in our spiritual self and our intuitive self, but then be around other people that are, you're just around the regular 9-to-5 work week. And so I guess my question is, you know, do you run into that a lot with people where you feel like they're so attached to heaven, so to speak, or they're so attached to the idea of enlightenment, and then when they try to balance their physical lives, they feel like they're doing everything wrong or they can't concentrate, like, I was just curious about those issues a lot with people.
Sure. And, you know, I think in I think it's a very common trend when people start walking their version of a spiritual path, they'll find whatever sense of community feels comfortable for them. You know, it's a monastery or the meditation circle or yoga or the drum circle, whatever it might be. And I think that's great. I think actually those things are very important. But then we can actually become, I think actually the greatest threat to growth is comfort. We can become incredibly comfortable in those circles because it's easier for us to access the parts of us that we like. You know, we become very infatuated and like it when, oh, I can easily tap into my intuition and, you know, I can feel more energy and I just feel more connected with when I'm with these like-minded people. So I think we can use those realms, both within ourselves as well as those community realms, actually as a form of escapism. And it's essentially saying I'm uncomfortable when I'm with regular people, only having access to my regular faculties. I'm uncomfortable with that. So then we use our spiritual practices as a form of escapism. And it's a very seductive form of escapism because, of course, our rationalizations that want to hide, you know, how we're actually using it to cover up pain, they're very seductive rationalizations. You know, I'm connecting with these people 7 nights a week now because it's for my own growth. Well, maybe it is, and maybe at the same time, it's also a form of diminishment. And I would dare say that when we're, you know, a lot of us on our version of a spiritual path, when we're with the kind of the mundane crowd, you know, the guys that just want to talk about sports and drink beer, and it's like, you know, I don't know if I have anything in common with them. Well, some of that is a great challenge. And I think uncomfortable challenges are necessary in order to motivate us to new levels of growth. And, you know, it's kind of like a samurai sword. It needs a stone to rub against or else it won't get sharp. So I think there's a healthy balance in the challenge, you know, the balance of, okay, finding my spiritual community and my spiritual gifts and senses and communing with those. And at the same time, communing with the regular mundane world, kind of like the Zen people chop wood and carry water. Well, some of that comes through connecting with regular people. So we find a balance. And I think the challenge about that balance is it can change from one day to the next. And the other thing about that balance is I don't think we ever have pure certainty when we are in balance. I think the best thing we can do, kind of like Buddha allegedly said, I wasn't there to actually witness it, but allegedly he said something along the lines of question everything. So if we can actually take that curious questioning into our lives, and, you know, I wonder, where is my balance? Is my spiritual practice today, is that actually disconnecting me from myself and therefore kind of diminishing my spirituality under the guise of a spiritual practice, or is it actually connecting me more and opening me up spiritually more? So, you know, I think the human ego is so seductive. I'm glad I have one, by the way. And it is seductive. You know, our egos are incredibly fear-based. They want familiarity. They're all about self-preservation, not self-realization. So I believe our human egos are incredibly capable of turning a spiritual practice into an ego practice while keeping us consciously believing that the spiritual practice is only about a spiritual practice. So, you know, those are, you know, some obscure questions that I do my best to ask myself in some way every day. And whatever my answer is today, I know that my answer will likely be a little bit different tomorrow. Those questions, helping us find our balance between those kind of conflicting worlds, they're important for me to carry.
Yeah, I agree. It's not like there's always one answer to everything. Everybody sees things differently, you know. Even when you say the sky is blue, you can have somebody like Ozzy Osbourne wearing yellow tinted sunglasses and it's not blue to him, you know. So you know, I like your description there, because, you know, I think that when a lot of us on the spiritual path, and we want to call ourselves like a light worker or whatever it is that we want to accomplish, you know, on our spiritual side or other dimensional side, you know, a lot of times we do some of our greatest work when we're not around like-minded people. You know, mm-hmm. if we hold true to our values and beliefs that we have from our spiritual side during our regular work day and so forth, you know, nobody has to know, like, your, you know, such and such secret, or so to speak, that, oh, you know, Mike here moonlights and plays piano and talks to ghosts at night, you know. and by day, he's a computer, you know, so. And, but, you know, you could take those values and, you know, and apply that, you know, just around other people and say, hey, you know, I want to spread good, or I want to try to help people however I can, but, you know, I don't have to freak them out, you know. And so it's, but I definitely agree with the balance, because, you know, again, like you said, we don't always know when we're in balance. And to date, I don't know of anybody that's made an iPhone app that tells you if you're in balance with your spirituality and your physical grounded self yet. So it's not like you can just, you know, look it up. But, you know, it's, we can kind of gauge, I think, when we're going off in a tangent, or when we're getting a little too ungrounded, or we're just not present, you know. And you know, and that brings me to my next question. When you deal with your clients, I mean, this could also be with yourself too. You know, I've read a lot of wonderful books, especially stuff with Buddhism and Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, the author, and people like that. And they stress so much that we need to not only enjoy the present moment, but just let our minds be in the present moment. And do you find that is a type of advice that you give to your clients a lot too, where we're always trying to think to the future, or we're always worried about what happened in the past? But if we just forget about the future, forget about the past, and try to focus more in the present moment, there's less to be upset about.
Yeah, I don't think any of us can have too many of those mindful reminders to be more present in the moment. And some of us, and certainly lots of clients I work with, reach a sticking point where they say, okay, you know, I know the idea of be present in the moment, and I can remind myself all day, yet there's something blocking me from being present in the moment. It's like there's a weight from the past pulling me out, or anxiety into the future. So I think it's also helpful to realize when we have the mindfulness to be mindful of being present, to be sensitive, like, okay, is there another obstacle here? And I find that with a number of clients, a pretty decent percentage of them, they seem to be stuck in their past. And I know that, you know, one school of thought that says, oh, you know, don't talk about the past. You just be present. Well, what if paradoxically we find out the wounds that a person is still stuck in the past is the key to them being actually present? And we know, you know, a person's in front of me, and I know they're physically here in this present moment, yet many aspects of their psyche can actually still be trapped in the scar tissue of what happened to them when they were 5 or 10 years old. So I do a lot of inner child work with clients, and some of that has to do with, you know, distorting the illusion of time and going back and working on what happened when we were children. And I find that that is a very helpful door to walk through, so a person can more fully show up in the present moment.
Yeah, that definitely makes perfect sense, you know, because it's almost that saying that sometimes you say we have to know where we've been to know where we're going. Mm-hmm. And you know, it is true, because if we try to deny that we're not holding on to something from the past that affected us, you never heal it. And so when you bring it into the present moment, or sometimes it's even a process of having to relive you know, mentally things from your past. And because I've heard of different concepts where they have people where you kind of relive moments from the past, but you almost like physically voice your forgiveness to the situation or the group of people or whoever it was that hurt you in the past. Even though they're not physically in front of you, it's almost like you can write it down as a dialogue or you can play it through in your head, and it can bring some amazing healing. I definitely agree that, you know, it's unhealthy to live in the past in your mind, so to speak, but it is healthy to be opened up to heal it, because if you don't open up to heal it, it's just going to stay locked in a vault, you know, within you all the time, and then you just can't progress past it, or sometimes you can make the same mistakes that somebody made to you. You know, I definitely can understand what you're saying there.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would guess a lot of the listeners here, they're aware of the difference between, you know, when we're talking about the past, the difference between, okay, I'm talking about the past to dwell in it or to process it, you know, processing it, helping free more of me from the past. And a lot of us know kind of what not to do. We've all experienced and probably acted out to a degree the victim archetype where, you know, we really get self-identified with what happened to me in the past, and we kind of relive and replay those same old stories that we become identified with, and we can see like, okay, you know, I can see you're dwelling in the past. What you need now is processing the past. And I see once in a while people actually denying healing that they desperately need with a rationalization of, well, you know, I don't want to just dwell in the past. Well, yeah, neither do I. And that's not what we're doing here at all. We're bringing processing and actually freedom to the past. And what you mentioned earlier, actually creating a dialogue with what happened to us in the past and the people that those events were with, for me, that's incredibly powerful. We bring our new consciousness of today, hand it to our past self to essentially rescue thyself. We're there supporting and connecting to our disconnected self. And in return, as we do that, the part of us that's been stuck in the past gets to join us today. We get those faculties, those resources, those parts of our psyche back into our life to help better support us so we can live more fully in the present. So it's kind of like, you know, we rescue our inner child, and our now rescued inner child really brings a lot of richness to our life today.
Yeah, and I find it fascinating because, you know, there's many schools of thought with, if you go into the belief system of past lives, you know, if that's a possibility on top of it, oh, my God, can you imagine, you know, you're trying to heal something just from this life, and it's like, well, you know, you were emperor
sure.
in a past life, and you murdered 50,000 people in a war and then rode off into the sunset until your head was cut off, and then you're born into this life, and your subconscious still remembers it, but your physical body doesn't, you know, and, you know, every time you see some kind of movie on TV, you know, where people are getting trampled on or something, you're just like, oh, that makes me feel really bad, you know. And so it's just amazing all these emotions that we can carry, like, you know, who knows what happened to us before we were born, you know, what dimensional space we were in and how much we actually remember when we come here. And so I think it's almost like if you go into healing the subconscious of whatever it remembers, whether it's from this life or anything else that we could possibly remember on top of it, you know, I've experienced it, and I've talked to other people who've done the past life regression stuff, and it's deep stuff, you know, wow.
Yeah. When you throw all that on the table, it really seems ridiculous how big our egos think they are. I mean, ego, especially in the sense of our conscious mind, you know, we think we're aware of a lot of stuff. Boy, I have things in my life to keep track of, and I have a lot of memories. as you mentioned, when you open up the subconscious and get into that, both the things that have happened in this life that we're not aware of, what happened to us when we were in gestation, what we experienced in past lives, all that that's still stored in the ocean of the unconscious, it's incredibly humbling. I mean, it makes what we, from my point of view, it makes what we know about ourselves like a grain of sand on a beach. It's just, it becomes minuscule. And I do believe that we add significant meaning to our life. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but when we begin a relationship from our conscious self to what's unconscious about it, about us, and when we can even there venture into making what used to be unconscious, bring that into the light of our consciousness, we begin, I think, connecting essentially to the infinite abyss that we carry and that we really are. And from my point of view, that becomes a much wider spectrum to view and experience life through than the very narrow spectrum that is our conscious mind, and therefore that is who we think we are.
Yeah, you know, I think when we access our higher divine consciousness, or, you know, if we have maybe a spiritual being like a spiritual spirit guide or an angel or something like that, you know, assisting us, I almost think when it comes to the subconscious, it's like, you know, things are released to us when we're ready, whether we go for a counseling session with, you know, somebody like yourself, or we're at a point where we're ready to access something from our memory banks of the subconscious. It's almost like spirit has to grant us a high level security clearance first before that stuff can kind of leak out. You know, it's like, okay, you've done all the work, we grant you access, you know, and here's the key. And
yeah, right.
That's a great way to say that.
Hey,
Mark?
Oh, I was just going to go ahead. Just want to mention for everybody that if you get a chance to sign up for JP's newsletter, which you can get off of his website, to sign up for the newsletter is on innerawakeningsonline.com. That's innerawakeningsonline.com. And, of course, you can get that link off of the Spiritual Connections Radio website. And when you sign up for that, you actually get a guide called your Guide to Contentment, Six Steps to Living Beyond Pain, Sadness, and Suffocation. So make sure to sign up for that and get that free gift that's made available out there. Also, if you have a chance to check out his website there, if you are currently coaching other people, he has a program where he actually mentors coaches, which is a whole different aspect we won't even get a chance to talk about on the radio show tonight. So make sure to go to his website if you're a coach and you look like you need some coaching. I do a lot of coaching, and I'm a strong believer that a good coach has other coaches that are available to them. So here's a great opportunity to sign up for some of his packages and stuff that he has out there, and it's on his website under Mentoring for Coaches. So make sure to check that out. Well, you know, as I had promised in the beginning of the show, this show goes quick. And with that, just a couple last questions for you, JP. The first is, you know, we were talking earlier about your videos and everything like that, including the ones that have the funny humor and everything behind it. And I'm just wondering, where do you get your ideas for the humor ones?
You know, all of that comes from my life. I kind of look at what's happened in my life, and that's where I get my material from. And specific ideas, you know, they'll just find me at obscure times, you know, when I wake up in the morning or I'm mowing the lawn. So, yeah, they just kind of float in, and I do my best to pay attention to them and devote some time to letting them develop and grow and kind of fill out. So everything in those ultra-spiritual videos, in some way, it's got relation to my life, whether it's directly or indirectly. And Yeah, I think there's just so much here in life, or at least that I've been fortunate enough to experience. It's just borrowing a little bit from life script to use for the YouTube script.
Very cool. you know, because you have a background in working with a number of people in coaching, what do you think has been the most powerful experience you've had working with somebody?
Well, that is, wow, that's a mind-boggling question. I love it. You know, to be honest with you, what comes up first in my mind is this past fall, I was running a retreat in Denmark, and there was maybe about 20 people or so there. And there was a person who was volunteering to do some one-on-one healing work to so I could demonstrate some concepts and exercises. And this person just opened up. And there was, needless to say, not a dry eye in the room. And I know I convey this in a relatively vague way. I'm leaving all the details out, and that's, of course, to respect the confidentiality of the moment, the person, and all the folks that are were a part of that. So, yeah, I've got to go with some of the Danish energy was just beyond breathtaking.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. You know, when you first started out, starting to work with people or starting to do your first workshops or retreats, what did it look like back then?
Yeah, you know, my pulse was always a little bit higher. I definitely, you know, get the old nerves up and, you know, think I'm there to meet other people's expectations, and hell, I think I'm even there to meet my own expectations. And there was more structure to things there. You know, I'd show up with a, you know, an outline for the workshop, and here are the points and concepts and all the lessons we're going to go through. And, you know, as I learned more and more to, one, not take myself too seriously, and two, I learned to trust that there's just a flow that comes through me when I'm teaching and working with people. So as I learned to trust that that shows up when it's needed, that becomes a beautiful river of life to just let support the workshop. So, you know, nowadays, relative to what they were when they began, it's much more of paying attention to what comes through me in the moment, what wants to be talked about, what wants to be worked on, rather than things being as much of a premeditated kind of lesson plan. And I would say, just I think probably the most important part, through the years of doing workshops, what I've enjoyed the most about sort of that evolution is the connection that happens. The, you know, each workshop that goes by, each retreat that goes by, you know, there's a deeper and more profound connection that happens relative to the last one, which is, it's sort of confusing because the last one was pretty darn profound and amazing. So those connections, I think, are probably what I value the most about how they've sort of evolved themselves.
You know, you brought up a good point, and that is, you know, for a lot of us out there who have done the retreats and taught, and or we've gone to teachers' events where there was an agenda given, you know, this is what the workshop's going to be, and then you get there, and because of the nature of the people that are there, because, you know, really the teacher is just channeling what needs to come through for that group of people, you know, it almost is like you're signing up for one program, and then you get there, and there's a whole different program being delivered. How do you deal with that balance? Like, how do you put that together?
Yeah, well, by finding out what not to do, and I've made the mistakes of what not to do, where, you know, if I, you know, on my website I advertise, you know, a super structure. Here's everything we're going to cover, and then in the workshop we don't cover things as they're laid out on, you know, the class agenda, you know, naturally so. People can get a little antsy about that and put off because, hey, JP, you're not doing what you said you were going to do. So what I do now is I have retreat themes, and that's all I advertise. You know, I'll have some descriptions and things like that, but I don't have any, you know, specific structures and outlines of everything we're going to go through, because I think it's much more valuable to pay attention to the richness that is presented in the present moment. So what I really advertise nowadays is retreat themes. There's this past mm-hmm. retreat I did last month in Australia. The theme was strong relationships.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you kind of just left it open. And yeah, it's a very powerful lesson. I think a lot of us, you know, who are out there, who are planning our first retreats, we're into that whole structured thing. And, you know, very quick to learn that's probably not the way to do it. So great lesson to kind of share with everybody. Thank you for that. As always, as we like to end our show, what is the biggest life lesson that you've learned in your life?
That would have to be that I am enough. And I would say that's still the most important lesson for me to learn more about and to let it soak in deeper, that I am enough just as I am.
I love that. That's beautiful. It's almost of the mindset, you know, that I like to say is, you know, there is no work to be done. You know, we're great with who we are. And so, why don't you go ahead and give out your website to everybody? And we were talking earlier in the show, for anybody that missed the beginning of the show, he's going to have a retreat in November. So we'll have to go ahead and check that out by signing up for your newsletter. And I think that was innerawakeningsonline.com.
You got it right, my friend. And you can also check out my YouTube channel and subscribe to me there, which is youtube.com/awakenwithjp.
Yeah. Maybe I can get a session with you so we can talk about my addiction to looking for your humorous videos up on YouTube.
Yeah, I think that's a great video idea. A video on how to cure your addiction to watching my videos. I don't know, would that be self-defeating?
Well, JP, it's been great having you on. We'll be looking forward to your newsletter and all the great stuff that you're going to be doing. And I really like the fact that you have the mentoring program for coaches out there. So anybody who is looking for a coaching program and is already coaching, great opportunity to work with this great man. Mike, as always, love to have you on the show. Thank you for co-hosting today. And, you know, it's great having
you
both. As always. So, JP, thank you. And we'll just say goodnight to everybody.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys. Thank you, Mark and Mike, for having me on and for all you lovely listeners paying a little bit of attention to us.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. For everybody that's tuning in, you are listening to the Men's Spiritual Hour. We're on once a month on Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find out more about our show. Links for J.P. Sears, his newsletter, and everything available through innerawakeningsonline.com. That link is up on the Spiritual Connections Radio website along with his bio and his YouTube links. And if you haven't checked out his videos up on YouTube, make sure to do that. They're absolutely funny. And with that, good night, everybody. Take care. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.
Good night.